Luke chapter 13, verse 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to." Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door to us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you came from." Then you will say, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." But he will reply, "I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers." There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are thrown out. People will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there will be those who are last who will be first, the first who will be last. This, some of the Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place. Go someplace else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your chicks together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Today is one day after Christmas. And it got me to thinking about the difference one day makes. And especially being one day too late. Think what a difference a day would have made to the Titanic. Think what a difference one day would have made if we'd had the defenses on September 11th that we had on September 12th. Think what a difference one day would make on December 7th, 1941. If it hadn't just been an ordinary day, with the crews worrying about how quickly they could get to liberty and away from their posts. How many things have been decided in the history of the world by one day? One day. And you know, the Christmas story is all about one day. Nazareth has God in the flesh forming in the womb of a teenager, but they recognized it one day too late. Think about this. Jesus left Nazareth, and obviously there was something there to be felt. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 1. Verse 34, Mary is talking to the angel and she says to the angel, How shall this be, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She was said to be barren, but now she's in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible for God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Mary. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That never happened in Nazareth. They missed it by one day. Why was it that there was no one that greeted her in Nazareth? So that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Missed it by one day. And of course, there's Bethlehem. Oh, poor Bethlehem. Luke 2:7. And she brought forth her firstborn child and wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was
no room.
How would you like for the next 2,000 years to be known for one phrase? No room. No room. They found room. The Bible says when the wise men came, they were in a house. But they found it. Jerusalem missed it. We just read that, Luke 13:34. In the passage we just read, Jerusalem missed it. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, how often I've wanted to gather you under my wings. Here was God in the flesh walking into their town. There's a song I listen to sometimes that the words of it say, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you will go down in history as the city with no room for your king. And when they crucified him, where did they crucify him? Outside of the city. They'd have just recognized that one day. But you know, that's not unusual, is it? It's not unusual to be one day late. Look with me back at Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. I want you to look at verse 31, Exodus 12, 31. Exodus 12, 31. During the night, Exodus 12, 31, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, Up! Leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go and worship the God as you have requested. Take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and go. And the Egyptians urged the people, hurry and leave the country. And Israel marched out. But you know what? For Egypt, they marched out one day too late. Look at verses 29 and 30. Before Pharaoh said that, notice what it says. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all of the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. Think if Pharaoh would have said one day earlier, go. Go. But he missed it by one day. We all know the story. It's told in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. We don't know when it happened. Luke 16, 19. Of the rich man who was sitting at his party and one night grabbed his chest and said, "Oh!" and slumped to the floor, and there was nothing they could do. And I'm sure that there was great eulogies, because rich people get great eulogies, don't they? They get words like philanthropist. And all kinds of people say nice things about all the money they gave to certain causes. But you know, God wasn't impressed with anything that was said in the rich man's eulogy. And neither was the rich man, because in hell he opened up his eyes one day too late. One day too late. And then there's Esau. We read these sad words about Esau. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. Hebrews 12, 16. Hebrews 12, 16. See to it that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the eldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, and he could bring about no repentance. That's what that word is that the King or that the NIV translates, no change of mind. He could bring about no repentance, though he sought the blessing with tears. One day late, he learned what was really important. If you go back to Genesis and read the story, it says when he came in from the field and his brother offered him a pot of stew and he said, "Just give me your birthright." And Esau said, "Oh, what good will the birthright be if I die? I'm dying of hunger." Now, do you think he was really dying of hunger? One day too late. He found out what really mattered. One day. And you know, Christmas is about one day. Because Christmas is just the forerunner for the one day that will matter. The day that of all the days in the history of the world, there is one day that is just called the day. There is one day that doesn't need a modifier. Oh, it's not the day President Kennedy was shot or the day they landed on the moon or the day of this election or this fall of an empire or the day of this battle or this birth. It is just the day. The day that Jesus here's what Jesus says in Matthew 24:30. Matthew 24:30. Matthew 24:30. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and there will be great joy. And all the nations of the world will mourn. One day too late. One day too late. Do you think they were mourning the day before? No. And you know, all of us are going to face one day, one day. We've made it through another year almost. Amen? A year ago, was that guaranteed? By His grace, we've had another year. And maybe we'll have another. We were talking with Joy and Derek, and they're looking forward to moving up, which was going to happen this right now, and then a year from now, and now 18 months from now. And you know, the bottom line is, what does James tell us? Don't say, I'll go here, or I'll go there, and I'll sell this, or I'll buy that, and I'll make this much money, and this year I'm going to... You ought to be saying, if the Lord wills. And here's the thing. If today was the day for you, like it was the day for Bethlehem, or the day for Nazareth, or the day for Jerusalem, or the day for Pharaoh, or the day for the rich man, or for the day for Esau, if today was your the day, would you be ready today? That's really the only question that matters in this whole life, isn't it? It gets obscured by a lot of stuff. But that's the only question that really matters. And it's the one that so often people spend so little time considering. Paul said as a middle-aged man, I'm running in such a way as to win the prize. I don't take this for granted. You can read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 24, going down to verse 27. He says, I don't take this for granted. He says, I run. Not like somebody wandering in circles, wandering aimlessly. I run so that when I've preached to others, I myself won't be cast off. The day came for Paul. That day came and went, didn't it? But you know what he could say before his day? He could say, I have finished my course. Let me ask you, are you on pace to finish the course? Any runner knows you have to have a pace. And you have to stay on that pace. If you're falling off that pace, you know, all of us content ourselves, well, you know, it's like over the holidays. Well, you know, I know I'm going to put on a few pounds, but after the holidays, I'll... You know, I know I'm getting behind now. You know, the credit cards, I'll run up, but after the holidays, I'm gonna. And you know what the problem is? After the holidays never comes, doesn't it? Because then it's the car, or the water heater, or the washing machine, or I need new glasses. There's always something, isn't there? If you're not on pace today, what's the hope of catching up in the future? Today's the day to get on pace. Don't be one day too late. That's why the Bible speaks so much about today and so little about tomorrow. What's the Bible say? Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, today. Don't be one day. See, if you do it today, you won't be one day too late, will you? But if you say tomorrow, you'll be one day too late. Let's bow together. Lord, how horrible it is that we read those words, and yeah, it's that part of that familiar Christmas story, and the implication that 2,000 years later, Bethlehem is remembered for one day too late. No room. Jerusalem is remembered for one day too late. Lord, we have so many examples from Scripture of people that were one day too late. Ahab was one day too late. Jezebel was one day too late. One of the thieves on the cross was one day too late. One made it just in time. Lord, may we, this very day, not next week, not after the holidays, not when I've got my life together, today, make sure that we're not one day too late. In Jesus' name, amen.